There it goes. Okay, we're on. All right, so we have, let's look at your handout there. There's, by the way, if you walked in just now, there's a new handout in the back. So let's look at the introduction. And this one's personal. So I have the privilege of preaching for the Christmas Eve service this year. So this afternoon, here's what I could do. I could get on ChatGPT, and I could ask it to generate a 3-point sermon outline for Luke chapter 2. I could then ask it to give me an illustration for each of those points, and to do it all in the style of John MacArthur. Okay? I could then memorize it and then bring it to church on Christmas Eve and preach it, and you might never know, except for you can say, man, he's been listening to a lot of MacArthur sermons. Okay? What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Why? What do you mean everything? What if it's accurate?
That's disgusting.
For me, as a Christian, when Pastor preached the word, he read it and studied and meditated and what the Lord teach him in his own life.
But Josh, I'm gonna memorize this thing. I'm gonna read it over and over again. I'm gonna memorize it. I'm gonna practice my pauses. I'm gonna the emphasis. I'm gonna get quiet and louder. I'm gonna do all the things. This thing's gonna be
there. But what if you read it and what God have? Okay. You read it from AI, but you read it yourself, and God, and you say, huh, okay, so, God touch me in that moment. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get more into that, because I'm really glad that you got the same response that I was hoping you'd get, right? There's something wrong with that. There's a lot wrong with doing that. And what we need to be aware of is there was, if you guys listen to Ask Pastor John Piper, he got this question in from a pastor who, is it wrong to use AI to get me started on my sermon preparation and to do all of these things, or to send one other guy, I think it was a missionary, I believe, for a newsletter. Can I use that to, produce a newsletter a little bit more often, because it's just hard for me to do that. And so, I'll let you go and look into what John Piper said. These are real questions that pastors are working through, whether or not to use this to give them ideas for illustrations. And it's not really new. There are sites that have been devoted to giving sermon illustrations and outlines and things like that. So, that's not necessarily new, but it's now more prevalent. It's more easily accessible. All you gotta have to do on your phone in a matter of minutes. So I'm glad you had the revulsion of, oh man, that there's something wrong with that. And for the reasons that Josh said, here's my kind of takeaway. There are some things that are meant to take time and to be difficult. So that would be just a general thing to live by. Some things are not meant to be easy. Some things are better when you struggle through it. Okay, in school we call that productive struggle, right? there's a goodness to working hard through something to learn it. In fact, you will not learn it if you don't struggle through it. But okay, so here are our objectives today. We're going to consider the benefits and risks of using AI in soul care specifically. And then we're going to use questions to examine the risks and rewards of using AI in a variety of areas, specifically as believers thinking through, how do I glorify God and use AI? Is that a possibility? And what are the things I should be aware of? So if you are curious, I got the first three points here that we'll use to discuss from an article on ACBC's website called The Use of AI in Biblical Counseling. The author is Josiah Feloukos, But he raises these three points that we need to be aware of. If we're in a counseling situation where we're discipling someone or they're coming to us with needing help for some spiritual problem, there's three problems with using AI to generate notes or suggestions and homework and things like that. So one of them, the first, is authority. So we're going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and we're going to think, who has God called to provide soul care? Who has he called to disciple his people? So Ephesians 4 says, starting in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So who does God call to do the work of the ministry according to Ephesians 4?
He has us to do the ministry. Mm-hmm. Like his servant, we are his servant, so.
Yeah, so and specifically here, listen, the apostles are no longer, we don't have apostles anymore, but we have people who, prophets, and we would interpret that as teaching, the teaching ministry of calling people to understand and know the word, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and God calls them to do the work of the ministry, to equip the body of Christ for ministry as they go out, and we're going to get to that second part as well. In just a moment, but we are talking about specifically those called to ministry. And so how can relying on AI, for example, if I said, I've told you I did ChatGPT and it gave me this outline and I'm using it now. I didn't, by the way, I did not. But what if, how would that change? How can relying on AI in ministry lead to failure of the church leaders to obey this scripture?
I think that once you use it and you find it easy, you could tend to become very lazy about it, mm-hmm. become more dependent on it, mm-hmm. and God looks at the heart, mm-hmm. you know, man looks at the outward appearance. It doesn't matter how it affects the crowd, you have a personal accountability for mm-hmm. your own work.
Yeah.
Well, and also, if the pastor's standing there after the shaking hands afterwards and saying, that's a great sermon, and he says, well, thanks,
you get to the point eventually that you are relying more on the authority of AI than the authority of Scripture.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it might be true. That could mean there could be a lot of truth in it. But if you get lazy and you just always go there first, then what is the? That's your source, not the Word of God. It's mm-hmm. AI.
Yeah.
So that replaces the authority.
And who's equipping the church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So, there's a lot of a church leader can be running on spiritual fumes, so to speak, because I'm not feeding my own soul on the Word of God. I am going to AI and getting it. I'm just parroting that to you. There becomes a hollowness in a pastor, and there's a lack of ability to feed the sheep, to care for the flock of God, because I'm not doing it. I'm not feeding my own soul. I'm not satisfying my soul on Christ. And that is a huge danger. And it leads to all the other temptations that you guys are pulling out. I'm taking credit for something I didn't do, right? And I could potentially be just blatantly lying, right? I'm not being honest about the work I did or didn't do to prepare.
Well, don't you think they probably rationalize it that now I have more time to shepherd the flock? I'm spending all this time here, but now look, see here, I can da 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 da. But like you said, it's making them shallow inside, mm-hmm. which I don't think they think about that
part. Right. So, and the thing that I want to try, and my personal tendency is to resist all, like, new technologies in general. So I'm trying not to just be like, AI is there's no redeeming qualities in it. I think there are some things that AI can really help with. For example, now this is one of those fine lines here, but in Logos, the Bible software that I have, they have incorporated AI. And one of the useful things that AI can do in that is, like, I need every, so you can potentially, if you're not familiar, you can have thousands of books in your Logos library. And you can have access to all of this material, and how am I going to access that? Like, so this AI assistant can find the sources, and it can bring them to you. Now, the responsibility that I have next would be to, okay, let's read now. It helped me gather the material. I need to read it and process and pray about it and think about it, and then turn that into produce something that I'm either teaching or preaching on going forward. But Logos will actually also give me, if I ask it to, an outline. It will do that kind of stuff too. So this is, I mean, this is really sneaky. It's kind of a, in a moment of, I don't have too much to do. Let me just get one from this AI assistant. That is, that's a slippery slope of, you know, danger there. So.
Well, and also, let's say there's someone in your church that has follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Hey, let me just look it up real quick, or, you know, if you haven't really dove into.
The other thing too, that they did a study, and it was a small sample, but the study I think rings true. They studied people who, they three groups of people who had to write an essay. And writing in particular is really harmed by this. And I may have mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but in this study, they had a group that was able to use AI to generate their essay, and then they could just tweak it how they wanted to. They had a group that just used Google to search for things, and they had a group that just had to come up with it all on themselves. The whole thing, they didn't even get Google to search for sources. They just had to write the essay. The people who did the ChatGPT could not quote anything from the essay. When they were asked afterwards, say they turned it in, yeah, do you know what you wrote? Yeah, I wrote it. And it's like, well, give me a quote from that essay. They couldn't. There was no, when you don't think about it, you can't really tell me what was in it. So, and that's going to Cole's point that if somebody asks me about it, you know, I don't know, I just got it real quick. And I mean, it's just human nature to take the easy route and to spend my time on something else I'd rather do. So if that's sermon preparation, I'm going to do that sermon real quick, or that lesson real quick, and then I'm going to move on to other things. That's dangerous and sinful, right? Just to be offloading the work of studying Scripture to something else so that I'm free to do something else. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. No, it's not really difficult, but there's going to be a temptation for some pastors and preachers to be using these tools more and more in the name of efficiency. And, well, I've got to go meet with people, and I've got to do all these things. That's not a good study of Scripture. It's not something you want to offload to AI. AI is going to study for you. You're not going to learn the same thing. I would extend that to Bible studies. Most of you are in a Bible study. If you are offloading your Bible study and your answers that you're getting and then putting onto your paper or into the study, you are not gaining what you think you're gaining from the studies. So just a quick heads up there. So let's look at the next couple of scriptures here. And this is going to broaden it out a little bit. So 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we love these next two verses, right? These are our soul care verses. Paul writes in Thessalonians, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." You know, praise God. We love that scripture, and we love the next one too. "I myself am satisfied about you," Paul writing to the Romans, just the church, to all of them. "I'm satisfied about you, my brothers, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." It's page 2. Who is Paul talking to in these passages? The brothers, the church. Okay? How can AI aid you in obeying this command? So, Paul's telling brothers and sisters, you are to be able to counsel. You're able to. You have the Spirit in you. You can counsel one another. So, now, is there a way that AI can aid you? Possibly. But in the ways that are going to be typical for most people, it's going to do more of the hindering. So how can it hinder you from doing, from obeying that command? So if I have not done the work, if I have not spent the time praying over it, asking the Holy Spirit to illumine the scriptures to me, to spend time applying the scriptures to my life, how can I help others do that? If I skip those important steps, that is going to be, make it impossible for me to really be helpful to my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Brock, I think like for me, the best times in counseling are when I've been able to share what I'm learning in my personal devotions, what I'm currently studying in my time with the Lord. And that's usually the most meaningful or the most helpful, even beyond sometimes what I've prepped for the specific topic that comes up in counseling.
Yeah.
And AI can't replace that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's something about walking with the Lord that is applicable to, and we're going to get to this as well in a little bit, but if, even if I'm not facing the same problem as the person I'm counseling, but I'm walking with the Lord and the Lord is teaching me and showing me, can I teach this young man or this young woman or older man or older woman, can I teach them how to apply the scriptures to their lives? Yeah, I can, because I'm doing it and I'm going through that process myself. Now, if I'm not doing that, maybe I memorized the three-step process to help you apply the scriptures, maybe, and maybe that can help them, but the problem is, if I'm skipping it myself, it's really difficult to help walk somebody through how to apply the scriptures to their lives. And if we believe, as we do, that the scriptures contain answers to the problems that we face, the temptations that we face, the trials and suffering that all people go through, but I'm not using it myself. A, I'm probably not going to know how to apply it, and B, I'm not going to know where to go in here to apply it. There's just a lot of problems that are going to happen because I've offloaded my work to something else.
Mark, I like the message we heard from the audio, and he said that he asked AI, do I need to get divorced or that stuff, and he do all the false stuff. But what the Bible says, and you that stuff, are we putting AI over God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we wouldn't say it like that, right?
No.
We would say
yeah.
it like, well, I'm just trying to be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be clear, there are ways and uses for AI that are good and fine.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't want to just say, dude, you better not use AI. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are certain things that you should not use AI for, right? And studying the scriptures to glean, you know, help from the Word of God is one of those things. You shouldn't use AI, especially to produce something as well, as if it's coming from your study of the scriptures. That's going to be where it gets to be lying, dishonest.
I think there have been Bible study tools that people have used. So, I mean, concordance
mm-hmm.
is one of them.
Yeah.
Everybody uses a concordance. And in with Logos especially, that AI part of it can be a very good mm-hmm. concordance, because you're trying to find, what am I missing? And it will pull up verses that are not just the word you're looking for, but kind of that the theme. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really helpful mm-hmm. because then you don't miss some verses that you really want to look at. But it's still on you to make sure, is this in context? Is it mm-hmm. because we can pull verses out of context but mm-hmm. with one word and think, here's my proof verse that I want. Mm-hmm. I found it. And so it's still up to you to make sure that's in context mm-hmm. to study it, but it's really helpful that AI would bring those at least a list of those verses out. So I think in that way it's mm-hmm. very useful yeah. as a concordance type of a tool. So.
Yeah, and there are a variety of ways in ministry that AI can be a blessing. It can be a gift, right? And it's like everything else, all technology, every advance in technology, there's going to be things that it can do that are wonderful and awesome, and there's going to be things that you can do that are cheating and terrible, right? So there's, with all of those ways, there was, and this has been several years ago, actually, before like even ChatGPT and stuff started to come out, I was listening to one, he's kind of a languages, he's fluent in Greek and Hebrew, and he was talking about how there's certain algorithms in artificial intelligence that are going to allow all the fragments of manuscripts of the New Testament and the Old Testament that we have, and it's going to be able to analyze and find things and patterns and data that we can't do. It will take years and years and years for the human mind to find some of these things, and AI can do it really quickly, really efficiently, and really accurately. So, like, there are wonderful gifts to these tools. So I want to keep banging that drum as well, because I feel like I banged the "don't you do it" too much. So, but there are good things about it that can be useful and just a wonderful blessing from God. And David's example is one of those things. So, let's go on. So we have the authority. Whose authority are you preaching from, teaching from, ministering from? So the second one is authenticity he raises. So, and this is more just thinking about the honesty piece that we've already talked about quite a bit. He says, what's wrong with using, back to my example. What's wrong with using AI to generate the sermon from Christmas Eve? It would free up so much time. Couldn't it produce such great content that it could be beneficial to the church? And let's start thinking through some of the problems that can happen. If I was to do that for Christmas Eve, let's say you never knew, what are some of the problems that could happen?
I think it'd be hard to own it as a speaker. I think when you work on something, you wrestle through it, you know it, you mm-hmm. own it. Mm-hmm. It would be like just teaching somebody else's outline or sermon that you work on. So I think it's a trap that many people have fallen into in the past by just latching on to one teacher mm-hmm. and then just regurgitating everything they hear from one preacher or teacher. So yeah. You don't really, you hear it and you can say it, but you don't really own it for mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As your own sermon. So.
Yeah, and it's always been this way. I think David could probably say this as well. When we teach something, there's a lot that I've been able to benefit from as I read and listen to things and search things out that I don't even have time to present. And that there's just such a richness to that that will be absent. Like David said, it's like just taking somebody else's notes and reading them to you. There's a depth there that would be gone for me as the teacher. And then, yeah, then we've talked about, like, if somebody asks me questions about it afterwards, well, I don't know, I'm just reading somebody else's notes. So there's dangers there. There's also the danger of, like, when I'm preparing to teach this class, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about you guys, mm-hmm. about you all. If I go to AI and say, hey, give me an outline for AI doesn't know you. It doesn't know our church. It doesn't know those issues that I'm called by God to speak to for this body. And that's missing. That's gone. If I'm using this tool in that way. So there are things, and every teacher in this church that teaches a Sunday school or teaches Adventure Club, you know, all of the teaching that goes on here, we take that seriously. We're thinking through how can I make this content helpful for these kids, for this class, for the church, for this team. Like, that's what we're trying to do, because we want to be a blessing to these people here, not just everybody or some generic group. Right.
You give it your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing it yourself, you're putting into it some of your own thoughts. For AI, you don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, and that's a danger that would happen. I heard, this is interesting, that sometimes what happens with the national preachers and teachers, when we start to preach to the American church versus to their church where God has placed them, there's a whole bunch of things that you start to say, because I saw this thing on Twitter that those people need to hear it, or these people in, you know, Washington D.C. need to hear this. So I'm gonna preach that. Well, this is not to do with my context here. For the body that God has called me to, what do they need to hear? What is the Lord leading me to say to them from His Word? That piece is missing, and a lot of these things are really subtle, and you may not know it, but the leader will be harmed by that, and eventually, that will lend itself to, I think John has said before, the congregation will rise to the level of its leaders, right? In holiness, in godliness, and faithfulness, all of those things. And so, in general, if the leaders are using these things to be lazy or to free up time so they can do other things, that sets the example for the church. And so, that will probably be a thing that the church starts to do. So we want to be really careful in all of those ways. He also quotes that at Princeton, they have a policy that if the students there are going to use AI, they must cite it. And so if Princeton's going to require their students to do it, it's more important for me as a teacher of the word to do that. If I was going to do that, I need to put somewhere on this handout, used with the help of ChatGPT or Gemini or Grok or whatever the chosen platform you use. That needs to be something. If they're going to require their students who don't care about God at all, don't care about being faithful and walking in the truth, but that's an academic responsibility, how much more for us as communicators of the gospel, preachers of truth, people of the truth, we must be transparent and honest about those things as well. So, the third point he brings up is this application. So, chatbots are informed, as we heard in Dr. Gifford's podcast, a secular, godless worldview. Okay, so this will show up in the goals and methods of the counsel given. So what are the goals of AI therapy as Dr. Gifford explained it, and if you think about just secular therapy, what are the goals?
It looks like it's just to reaffirm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, affirmation.
Affirmation.
Yeah, Lindsay, say that again.
Make you feel better.
Make you feel better.
Love yourself.
Love yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's a quick fix. It's a quick way to get affirmation,
mm-hmm,
to get to this point where you feel better.
Yeah, so the goal of secular therapy is to feel better. So whatever route that they used, talk therapy, medication, whatever thing that they're trying to do, they're trying to alleviate a symptom. What is the goal of biblical soul care? Holiness,
yeah.
Sanctification, like, is helping believers grow in Christ-likeness, to be more pleasing to God. That's the goal. That's a very different goal than feeling better, right? To alleviating some bit of suffering. to easing guilt. That's not the goal of biblical soul care. There is one way to truly deal with guilt. And it is not to numb yourself with medication. It is not to tell yourself that it's really not that bad. And how if somebody else is in my situation, they might have done even worse, or they would understand. That is not the point. The point is to help us deal with God. Right? That's what we're calling people to do. Hey, you've got this sin that you're struggling with. Let me help you because you are sinning against God. He is a holy judge. And we are called to be like him, to walk with him, to walk in a manner pleasing to him. So that's what we're calling counselees to do, our disciples that we're working with. So those, of course, are going to result in different ways to counsel. Okay. What kind of confrontations happening in secular therapy? What are those chatbots challenging? Nothing. That's how those teenagers are using these things, and they're just spiraling down. And ultimately, several of them have committed suicide. Chatbots don't challenge you and tell you you're wrong.
Expect your teacher's feelings aren't true. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to rely on your feelings. So when you're saying feel better, that's talking about feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not helpful.
Yeah. So, yeah, the scriptures will command us as counselors to confront sin. To do it gently, but to do it. To do it truly. And then to walk with them out of it. That's what we do. That's why it's truth and grace. Not just one or the other. So that is the call of every biblical counselor.
And it's usually a long-term thing. It's not just a one and done. Mm-hmm. Like if they're in a trial, you're not telling them to get out of the trial, but you're walking with them, helping them endure mm-hmm. and walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the relationship that's part of that. Playing the long game.
Yeah. So with the time that we have left, let's just think through. And this we'll try to do this in two ways. We'll ask the first one, how does this help? How does this apply to counseling and scripture, applying the scripture to the difficulties that I'm facing and then I'm helping others to face as well? And then broaden it out to other areas of life. Okay, so how should believers use AI? Here are some questions to work through as you think about your own discipleship, your own soul care, and then in life more generally. Does this help me bring glory to God? So, does using ChatGPT or fill in the blank with whatever program help me in this situation to bring glory to God? The answer might be yes. Okay, but as a counselor, I don't know, probably not. But there are some ways that you might use these tools, and it might free you up from something to be able to glorify God. And so that is the first question that we should all ask of everything, right? We are called to bring glory to God, to know him, to enjoy him. So can AI help you do that? Anybody have any thoughts on that one? And there'll be some of these other will be like the next questions, the follow-up after that. So if I think yes, okay, well let's continue. Does this AI tool help or hinder me in my walk with the Lord or in my ministry, in my relationships, in my work, etc.? So let's think of just through counseling. Can this AI tool help me walk with the Lord or minister to this brother or sister? Again, maybe the answer is yes, but these are some things that we have to think through. We don't want to get caught in just the convenience of it, because like I said earlier, some of these things are not meant to be easy. It's not, relationships are not easy. Okay, if they are, that means there's probably not much depth to that relationship. So if God is calling me to minister to this brother, getting on chat GPT for a few minutes to prepare for that is not the way to do it. It's not helping me love them. Okay. Letter C. What skills or habits will I lose by using this tool? So if you think through, I use it for Bible study. What the part of your that skill that you are used to use with before AI is going to atrophy. So I won't have it anymore. You use a tool long enough, you will not be able to do that. And then if that tool is taken away somehow, and then what do you do? Now, I know this is getting a little in the philosophic kind of a realm, but some people would be like, well Brock, it's never going to leave. What, is the internet going to go away? Okay, well, maybe not. But there is the fact remains that I'm called to glorify God with my mind, and if I cannot, so let's go back to my example of, I'm going to teach this class next week, and I'm going to use it to prepare an outline. I'm going to lose that skill to get started. I just need some ideas to get started. I hear that a lot, and I've heard that hundreds of times. As I've been through different trainings for work, it just gives you a good place to get started. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes I'm using that as an excuse because I don't want to do the work. Okay, and that is going to cause, even though I may be bad at that skill, but guess what? I'm gonna get worse at it because I am not doing it. So what skills or habits am I losing by using the AI? And then you can also, the other side of that is, what skills or habits am I gaining?
I would say critical thinking, for one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you become dependent on it, it's going to dull your mind eventually to what are you really processing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like watching TV and listening to it at the same time. It goes right into your brain, but if you're listening to it from a distance, you can process what's true and what's false a lot
mm-hmm.
easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also so I'm doing some research. There's some people who will say, one guy was being honest, and he said that studies have found that people who are using it to be creative are actually, it actually takes away their creativity if they don't use it correctly, which I would say, how everybody's using it then? Is that what you know? So yeah, but there is apparently, according to this guy, a way to use it differently that would not take away your creativity, that can help you. I don't know what that would be though, so I can't like speak to that very much, but I do know that it will cause us to lose certain abilities and certain skills, and you have to really weigh how important that skill is.
How about your relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
If you're not,
yeah.
If you're just ignoring Him, which would be how it would be if you're just relying on a computer. What's the difference between a non-believer counseling? Or this really should probably be with a pastor preparing or a counselor. You want them bookending this with prayer and then trusting the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
through the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it comes down to that point too. Who am I relying on to be able to teach this or to preach this lesson or to give this information to someone else? And in counseling, who am I relying on to have insight into this, what's really going on here? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes people say things that are not really what's going on, that whether that's on purpose or not. Sometimes it is purpose. They're trying to make it seem like they're not really struggling as much as they are, or they say, well, I'm struggling and I'm just, I complain. But really the problem's deeper. It's a deeper anger issue. It's a deeper thing that they're trying to mask. And if I'm just using AI, I'm just listening for, I'm going to use my AI to, okay, well, he's having a problem with complaining. So let's talk about complaining. There's not a relying on wisdom from the scriptures, wisdom from the guidance of the Holy Spirit to really get to the heart of the issue. And you're not going to listen carefully and attentively and do that hard work of really discerning what's going on if I'm so used to just do that real quick and I'm just, everything's fast, I gotta get this thing done, lots of efficiency. That's not how relationships work, and that's not how counseling is going to work.
But just there's an expectation that we should know everything, and God doesn't require us to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain, there's a point where you just have to trust that the Lord's going to lead you to what you need to know in that instance, and you don't have to be catchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like telling God, you're going to pray, and God, I want you to do these things. And when you're praying, well, you need to know. My daughter was taking her son to the rehab doctor, and she was wanting my prayer. And in her mind, she wanted these things to happen. Well, those things didn't happen exactly the way she prayed, but wow, it was even better. That's what you just ChatGPT, if you're taking, you're deciding. But God said, no, you present it to me, and I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
He has better ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He did great with this rehab appointment. It was wonderful. And it really wasn't what we thought we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, the next one. What am I doing or planning to do with the time I might save using AI? And this is the one where I think a lot of conversations I have heard are like, oh yeah, it just frees you up to do better things and to use your time better. I think if you give me extra time, I'm probably going to watch more Chiefs. Or I'm going to do, you know, is that really going to be used to do the deeper work, that go to the next level and being productive? Now, some people, I'm sure that they will do that. I'm not sure I'm one of them. But there is a way that you can use AI, and it can free you from doing some tedious part of the job, so that you can actually do something else that is good, that helps you, allows you to think more deeply about another aspect of your work. So that is definitely possible. I think that's really happening for people. But if we're not careful, we'll say, oh yeah, of course I'm going to do that. And then what I end up doing is actually just wasting that time anyway. And so I'm worse off because I didn't do the basic thing that I was trying to do. And now I'm just wasting more time. So that can be a possibility. If I'm going to do this AI tool, this is going to free me up for what? What is it going to allow me to do?
And David said slippery slope and trap. And so I think that's what it would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you use it the same way as like the automobile. What does a car allow me to do now? What does a pen and paper, with years before, hundreds of years ago, they were trying to etch it in stone and use papyrus and stuff. There's all kinds of things. We have all these advancements. What does that allow us to do better now? What does a computer allow us to do better now? And we can go on and on down the line. This is another technology that we need to be thinking through. Okay, what can this allow me to do that would help me to glorify God, to think better, clearly, to have more time to pray, to have more time to walk with the Lord, to have more time to meet with people? There are some benefits that could happen that AI will do for you if we are intentional about it. But if I just say, yeah, AI is going to help me do this stuff faster, for what? That question, that follow-up question, needs to be answered. So we can better serve people. I can better excel at my job, or I can better utilize my time. So that is a possibility, and it's something that we need to make sure and answer that follow-up question.
This is new. So I think we have a church body for a reason. So if you're a leader, you have other leaders around you, you should be willing to say, hey, this is what I used ChatGPT for,
mm-hmm.
or AI. What do you think? And let these other men and people speak in your life. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hiding it, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
right there, your conscience is already convicting you if you're hiding. So you need to be open.
Yeah.
And if you're not a leader, but you're using it for some sort of Bible study, you need to share it with other people. This is what I use. What do you guys think?
Yeah. And if you're, like you said, if you're resistant to that, the thought of saying, of telling Pastor Dave or one of the elders or your Bible study leader, telling them that you used AI for this purpose, and again, there's going to be a purpose in there. Like David mentioned earlier in his example, there are purposes where AI can help and enrich your study of the scriptures. I believe that. But if it's not, and you're like, I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm doing that, that's a problem, right? And that's the instinct to hide and cover something that I'm already feeling kind of guilty about. My conscience is pricking me and saying, shouldn't be using it for that. That's probably not honest. That's not what this is. That's not glorifying to the Lord. That's taking credit for someone else's work. All of those kinds of things. So it is. I think that's a great point. If you're thinking about using it, talk to somebody. You have brothers and sisters here who love you and want to help you. So, yeah, that's a great point.
I think there's a big difference in producing content that should be led by the Holy Spirit and then administrative tasks. Like, a church can use AI to organize the bulletin. And, you know, some of these tasks that really would take time and take away from ministry that are administrative and don't need to be prayed for and those kinds of things. It's the difference between that and leading and encouraging the women to talk about a chapter of the Bible. Like, those are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that there's useful tools for one in ministry and not the other.
That's a good point. And those are the kinds of things that AI is a blessing for. Okay, I need help scheduling my week this week. Is there a tool with that? Probably. Probably is a tool for that. And so, could that be helpful? Sure.
I think there's always been a danger, though, of taking shortcuts even before AI. The use of commentaries, for one thing. I know there was always a temptation to read a commentary and then present that as maybe your own.
Or even not even trying to take credit. Hey, I read MacArthur's commentary, and this is what it says, so that must be it. Or I read this thing from R.C. Sproul, or I read this thing from, and it, praise the Lord for those men who have helped a lot of people. But to just use that to short circuit my own wrestling with the scriptures is a problem. Just me using the article that I'm pulling these 3 points out of. You could argue, well, Brock, why don't you do it yourself? You know, there's that. So there's all kinds of things that don't just think, oh, I'm not using AI, so this is not an issue for me. It could be an issue, and you've just been using the MacArthur Study Bible to do your study for you, or something like that. So the need for us to do the work of the ministry is work. It's hard. It takes time. It requires us to think. It requires us to pray and rely on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we would like to do something else with our time. So that we have to resist that temptation to use those tools inappropriately.
So what about, I keep thinking, when there are lots of examples where AI actually fabricates the source. I mean, it flat out lies and makes stuff up. I mean, it's not like God's word, where God's word is completely sufficient and trustworthy, and AI can make lie.
There will always be a need for whatever tool you're using to check it. And I think people readily admit that. The problem is, how many people are doing it? How many are checking it? And we had the example of the lawyer who was using it that Chris had mentioned several weeks ago, who got fined because it completely, it called the hallucinations. It just made up a court case and he used it in the court. in a court case, a literal one, and then he got fined a lot of money and got in trouble, and as he should. So, but there are different tools. So ChatGPT is one kind of tool. If you are going to use ChatGPT or any tool to generate for you information, generate content, you have to check it. That's going to be a risk that is inherent in the algorithms and I think it eventually should get better at that thing. But there are other tools that are interesting in that you can put in, here's the documents that there's one tool that I found that has been interesting. You can load up all these KSDEs, Department of Education documents and things, and I can say, summarize these for me. And so it's just pulling from those. And even then, though, there's a little disclaimer at the bottom of the screen that says, check it. It may not be accurate. So it's just, there's always going to be that need to check, make sure that it didn't like make something up as it was pulling from this information. And it's really interesting, the different capabilities of some of these tools that you could research and use. It is just going to have to require wisdom and being careful and checking, and so that we're not just using it to be lazy and then we're found out to be communicating something that's not true. So any final thoughts or questions? All right, so next week, John will start his series on marriage.